Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're now in the part 8 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 109. That's tape number 109 and CD number 109, if you care to order. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is email us at
alamoministries.com.
Or call us at
479-782-7370.
Or write to us right here at Texarkana. We're in Los Angeles right now, but our post office box is in Texarkana, Texas, at P.O. Box what?
646.
It's Tony Alamo Ministries at P.O. Box
6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
All right, and so we have some letters this evening that, actually, it's morning right now. What time is it in the morning here? 4:27 in the morning, Los Angeles time. So, you know, while you sleep, you know, we bake fresh baked bread here. The Lord gives it to us. And, Lord, we ask that, let's all pray now, Father, give us fresh bread. Pour out your Spirit and give us even more than what you've already given us. Lord, add to the words. Let everything that is being said here on my commentary be directly from your throne. Lord, to save souls in the world and to strengthen the church, to give your power unto them into the world so that the kingdom of heaven is more well established here. Let it be established more firmly, more greatly than the kingdom of Satan, which is the world government, the media, which is all both led by the Antichrist Roman Catholic Vatican out of Rome. Now, Lord, we ask that you do this. Not that we're against the Roman Catholic people at all, Father, as you well know, but we're bringing the true message, your true message, to them, that they may know the truth, for when they know the truth shall set them free. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. This message of you living in people is totally anti-religion. They are totally anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti the Word of God, anti the Bible. So, Father, we ask that you open their ears, their spiritual ears and eyes. Lord, give them the Word, the power, directly from your throne. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Las Vegas, Nevada.
Las Vegas, that's really something. You know that Susie and I preached the gospel there. We were first married there. We got married 3 times. The Lord showed us visions that we were to be married, both of us. She showed her first, and she told the Lord, no, he's too young. Susie was actually 9 years older than me, and she'd been in the ministry 25 years before I ever thought of being saved or wanted to be saved. And the Lord answered her back and said, yes, but he's strong. And that means strong in the Lord, that I would never fall. Never, ever, ever fall. That I'm going to continue on to the very end of my life. And she needed that strength. And when I got my vision just a few hours later, I was telling the Lord, no, Lord, she's way smarter than I am, and she knows you longer than me, and it just doesn't seem fitting that she and I should be married because she's so smart in the Lord. I observed her for days, and I thought it would be wonderful for me to have a wife like that that's godly, because she'd be a woman that you could really trust. You wouldn't have to worry about other guys getting to her or anything like that. It's just she was so trustworthy. I just thought she didn't pay any attention to anybody flirting with her. She didn't pay any attention to guys at all, with the exception she'd preach the gospel to them and pray for them And she treated men the same way she did women. And I told her, told the Lord, no, Lord, this can't be. And he said, I said, she's too smart for me. He said, that's good for your ego. And to that point in my life, I didn't realize I had an ego. But he told me that I did. And I know that the Lord is right. And I just wondered about that. And I've been checking that all down through the years. Then I heard not too long ago in Nashville, Tennessee, on Channel 4, they stated, oh, that Tony Alamo, he is still as arrogant as ever. Brothers and sisters out in Radioland, I don't consider myself arrogant, and the Lord never said I was arrogant. I've been in the ministry now for almost 42 years, and the Lord has taken that ego, or at least a lot of it, out of me, and I'm certainly not arrogant, but I am self-assured. I know that the things that I am telling you are real and true, and I know that the Lord is alive, and I know that there's really a heaven and a hell, and if you want to call that arrogant that I know these things and that I know I'm saved, well, then I am arrogant, all right? Mm-hmm. And you could be arrogant too, all right? You can be assured that you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven and that you don't need to have an inferiority complex whatsoever. Just get right with the Lord. All right, let's go.
Dear Pastor Alamo, due to some bad feelings at the location we were meeting at with the new director, we are now at a new location, and he gives his address in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Please. Where is it?
33 Owens, Las Vegas, Nevada.
So those of you that are in Las Vegas that are hearing this broadcast, go to 33 Owens and go to church there. All right, then what?
Please send us any information to this address, as this guy is really mean toward us. I really enjoyed the information you sent me, as did all of the new converts. They keep asking for more. We now have about 30 new converts because of your newsletters that we distributed with our sticker on them. Please send me 100 more as soon as you can. And
those shirts. That's a good thing. You people that are distributing the literature, you believe the way I do, well, the way the Lord tells, well, then put your sticker on there and have people come to your church. You use this as a witnessing tool and a tool to build your church up there, which is the Lord's church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Those shirts are a big desire. 20 of the kids want them, all wanting medium and larges. Praise
okay, well,
the Lord.
Send all those T-shirts, rhinestone T-shirts, to them. All right?
Yes.
And if we can't rhinestone them fast enough, we'll just send them plain. You know, they still look good. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Praise the Lord. More later, Reverend Dr. J.D.C.
Okay. Next.
Next letters from Lagos, Nigeria, Africa. Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, this ministry is helping me a lot to change my life greatly for the Almighty God. Meanwhile, I am one of your literature distributors here. I am Brother Charles from Lagos State, Nigeria. I was born on June 12, 1980. My parents passed away when I was 13 years old. Meanwhile, I was brought up in a Christian home where we all lived. I want to worship together in the Alamo Ministries there and truly want to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is my dream. I will also like to be a pastor by His grace so that I will serve the Lord more, because the Bible tells me that my body is the temple of the Lord. By His grace, I have been visiting the orphanage homes where they take care of children without parents. I also give them some money for their food for the little children, and I have been preaching to them about the Word of God. And I thank God for what He has been using me to do in their lives. Amen. I'm also going out on the street preaching every morning and distributing your literature to make sure I win souls for God. I have a brother here in Nigeria. He is a Muslim by the grace of God. And I have been preaching to him always, every evening, going to his house to make sure I win his soul for Christ. Thank God I made it. He's now for Christ. Praise the Lord. Today has been Sunday service. I took him to my church where I do worship, and he was happy, telling that when he is in Muslims, he noticed that he was in darkness, but now he has received Christ. Great things have happened to him, and he was asking if he could come along with me to the U.S. so we can worship in the Alamo Ministries fully. I am having an interest to come to Alamo Ministry and worship together, since I have no one here to encourage me more about the Lord, and I will be very great if my request is granted. I have it in my mind that you will be greatly blessed for all your hard work and your testimony. Your brother, Charles.
Come on down, Charles. Praise the Lord. You're welcome here as the flowers in May. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I guess we're going to have a large part of Africa down here in the USA if they'll let them come in. All right, then what?
The next
letter. We're going to pray to the Lord that they will. Amen.
Amen.
We've got to win those people that are at immigration to the Lord and in the government. We're not against you, government people. We're for you. We want you to be saved. We want you to get into the kingdom of heaven just like ourselves. The Lord doesn't want any of you to be lost, and we don't either. Okay, that's why we preach the gospel. Not to be smug in ourselves that we're saved and you're not, so ha, ha, ha. No, it isn't that way at all. We're preaching this gospel so that you can hear it and get saved yourself and then get into the army of the Lord with the double-edged sword, the greatest weapon in the world, which is the Word of God, so that you can come down here or wherever you are in the world and get this gospel out so that souls can be saved. It's obvious that there are millions of souls, maybe hundreds of millions of souls being saved through this literature, so if you want to be a distributor, just write us or call us or email us, and we'll be happy to load you up with some real great soul-winning material that the Lord has given me. And we'd love to hear from you, too, some of these great testimonies that we're hearing from people all over the world. It just makes my heart rejoice. And it just seems amazing that most of these testimonies are coming from Africa, a land that people think is so dark of that they don't have the light of the Lord there. But look how the light shines out of Africa. Amen?
Amen.
It's wonderful to hear these letters. Then what?
The next letter.
And also, tonight, this morning, Las Vegas, Nevada. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, then what?
Next letter is from Accra, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Olamo, Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our coming King. I was highly enthusiastic when I received your reply for the literature. My life was touched and changed after going through your literature. My life was transformed. May God bless your ministry and lift you up. Additionally, please, Pastor, I like reading the Bible, but do not have one.
Well, we'll send you one right away, okay? And anybody else that wants one there. Okay, go ahead.
By the grace of God, please send me one Holy Bible and the book entitled The Messiah. Please have mercy upon me to send me all.
Oh, don't worry about that, brother. Anyone that writes in for Bibles or Messiah books or literature or these tapes, they're yours, free of charge. Then what else?
You don't know how much this has enlightened my life. I will end here, your brother in Christ, Richard, from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the last one?
Yes.
All right, now let's get into how to have God's life literally living in you. Now, the Bible tells that there's four new things that would happen in the world that Christians must have done to them. But the first one that it had to happen to is there are four new things. The cloth, the clothing, the wineskin. And it's new. This has never happened before in the entire world, that there is somebody that came into this world. This somebody is the Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something new. The Old Testament talked about this happening. And in the New Testament, we see that Emmanuel, God with us, was born in the first chapter of Matthew. And it tells of that in the Gospels, of his birth. And it tells that he is called Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. His very name, Yeshua, or Jesus, means God Almighty with us. Amen?
Amen.
Yeshua, the Messiah, the living God, God's Messiah. God was born in the flesh on that day when he was born. So we see that there's about a six-year discrepancy in the calendar, because it talks about, I could go in that way. I'm going to leave that alone right now, but we'll talk about that later in some of the other tapes, how that by Herod's death we can tell, and his birth also, that Jesus was not born on the day that is recorded in many Bibles, and we know that by Josephus, who talked quite a bit and wrote quite a bit about King Herod and the time that he was born and the time that he died. And Jesus was around 4 years old when Herod died. All right? So then we see that it talks about that he would have been 10 years old when he died, if the calendar, the Jewish calendar, is the one that is correct. All right? All right, so let's continue on here. Now, with how to have God's life living in you. Don't you want to know?
Yes.
Now, this, when we're clothed, this God-man came into the world, and he was shrouded in humanity. But when he died, when he went through all the process of 33 and a half years of human life, he had completed the task that the Lord had sent him for, to get the plan of salvation out to the world. And then he had to be the cloth, the actual one that we're going to be clothed with, had to be sewn. He had to be slaughtered on the cross, put together. He had to go through this death of his, which the prophets told about, in order for him to become our garment. But he could not be our garment until he went through the entire process. So he was clothed upon with death, and then he went into the pit of hell for 3.5 days, and then he arose from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead on the third day, 3.5 days, and then 40 days later he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. And then this cloth, this garment that he became, this new cloth, this new garment that came into the world, this new wine, because before this man was resurrected, this God-man from the dead, and he rose from the dead and then later ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. And then he came down on the day of Pentecost, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it states that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Now the disciples had the Lord Jesus Christ living in them, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, but we have to also have the garment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on us. Otherwise, what point would it have been for these four new things to come into the world? The cloth, the garment, the wine, and the wineskin. So when the Spirit comes down upon us and in us, well, then he's in us and we're in him, and we're in the wineskin. We're the new part of the new situation that came into the world. Part of Jesus' life, we're his body, and we're in his body, and we are his body. A corporate body of many of us, so that this is how God's life takes place in us, so that he can live his life in and through us. We actually become the continuation of the life of Christ here on earth, which means the continuation of the Lord's incarnation, in other words, the Lord's living in flesh, God Almighty living in flesh in us right here on earth, because of the four new things. This is something new. This never happened in the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why when the Lord was talking about himself being the bridegroom, and then he goes on to tell us about these four things that we must be. We must be children of the bride chamber, which means that we're not the bride yet, but we're children of the bride chamber. We're in his chamber. We're children of the bridegroom, and we're happy to be with the bridegroom. Amen?
Amen.
And then we become the invited guests. That's four things that we must be, invited guests. We must be virgins, and to live our life as a virgin, to not allow Satan to have his way with us in any way, so that we can become the bride. Then right after that, he tells about the four new things, about the cloth being clothed upon with all the things that Christ had to become and be in order for him to be the wine, the resurrection, the life-giving spirit, and the wine bottle or the wine skin that we must live in. So there's eight things there. These are all new. Amen?
Amen.
Now, nobody ever talked about the bridegroom and the bridegroom being with us and being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all this is new to us here in the New Testament, because we must have God's life living in us. This is not religion. It's anti-religion and 100% salvation. Then we must be virgins, and then eventually we become the bride of Christ. But in order to do that, we have to be clothed upon with him. We have to have the cloth. The Bible plainly tells us that we have to be clothed upon with him, and we have to be resurrected from the dead in the Spirit, in the wine of the Spirit of the Lord in us and through us, and living in us and through us, and also that we must be we're talking about we must be the clothed upon with the cloth, the new garment. We must be resurrected, and we must have the Lord living in us, and we must live the church life. We must be in the church. Outside of the church, we're not going along with the new process. Okay? We have to go through all the steps of the process that the Lord has provided for us in order to have his life living in us. Okay, so let's start reading. All right?
We have the bridegroom. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the bridegroom is here.
Yes, it's, in other words, isn't that something? That never before has the bridegroom been here, but now he's here. Amen?
Amen.
And we have him, the Bible says. Otherwise, we would not be happy. We would walk around with a long face and with a miserable face, a miserable countenance, because we don't have the bridegroom. Amen?
Amen.
How can you be unhappy if you have the bridegroom? If you think that people are going to feel sorry for you, or that God is going to feel sorry for you having a long face and not praising the Lord and being joyful because the bridegroom is with you, if you think he'll be merciful to that, you're crazy. Okay? Because God went through a lot to go through this process of these eight new things. Amen?
Amen.
Eight of them. Okay, go ahead.
The most wonderful person, the most engaging person, and the most comforting person, pleasant person, is right here with his disciples.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, that wasn't just back then. It's now. Either you have the bridegroom with you, or you don't. Either you're clothed upon, either you're a virgin or invited guest, or you're not. Either you have your, you're going to be the bride of the Lord, or you're not. Either you're going to have the cloth that's been made into a piece of clothing, and you're going to be clothed upon with the Lord. You're actually going to have the mind of Christ. You're going to be totally devoted and focused on him. You're also going to have this wine in you, and you're going to be a part of the wine skin, part of the church system of the Lord. All these new things that have come into the world that were never here before. And people that don't have these things are still living in the world. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more closer we are to becoming the bride of Christ. We have to constantly be working our way out of the world. As we get closer and closer to the Lord, we're getting closer and closer. We're getting further and further away from the world. And that's where the Lord wants us. And that's where you're going to want to be when the Lord, the bridegroom, comes back. Otherwise, there'll be no oil in your lamp. You'll be like the five foolish virgins. Sorry, continue.
So let's think about when he replied to the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees in such a way. John, James, and Peter suddenly shouted, "Hallelujah!" Do you think that the Lord Jesus would rebuke them? No, he wouldn't, it's for sure. The Lord Jesus would be extremely happy with them. So the Lord Jesus Christ...
Right, for saying hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody that sits around with a long face, you're in the graveyard. You're in the funeral parlor. You're dead. You don't have the bridegroom with you. Okay, then what?
So the Lord Jesus Christ is that to us. He's our bridegroom. And that means that he means so much to us.
Now, bridegroom means that you're in the bride chamber with him. And how could, if Jesus was right now in your room, and he's supposed to be in your body, but if he came into the room suddenly and you could see him right in front of you, would you be mourning?
No.
Would you have a long face?
No.
Or would you fall at his feet, prostrate, and be praising and thanking the Almighty God and say, Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, that's the way it has to be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
He is God himself. He is the actual creator of heaven and earth.
Reminds me of that song, If Somebody Loves You, is for sure they got to love you all the way. Well, Jesus loved you all the way. He went through the whole process. He was the cloth. He became. He was the bridegroom. And he's the one that's made us children of the bride chamber and has invited us into heaven to the marriage supper of the Lamb and made us virgins and made us clean from all of our sins. And he made us his bride eventually if we hang in there. And we also have become part of the cloth. We're clothed upon. We have the new wine in us, the latter rain. And we also have the, we're part of the wineskin, which is that we're going to feast with the Lord at all times so that we can remain being virgins and be ready to meet him with feasting, not just simply eating, but feasting with the Lord in the services. All right, then what? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, because Amen. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so if you don't study the Bible, you don't know these things. And I'm so let's hear these things and be part of all this. All right, all the newness of spirit and newness of life. And we've been giving new life. Everything is new now. We become new creatures. Amen? In Christ Jesus. In order to be new creatures, then we have to have a Savior that is all new. Amen?
Amen.
He's never been in the world here before to give us salvation until 2,000 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got everything new. New creatures. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, then what?
He is the actual creator of heaven and earth and the fullness thereof. He is our creator. He is the Lord Jesus Christ.
See, these are all the old things. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's new. Okay, then what?
He is our Lord and Master.
That's new.
He is the Lamb of God.
That was in the Old Testament. And he came, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, that taketh away the sins of the world and makes everything new. Amen?
Amen.
You got to remember the word N-E-W. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He is the Lamb of God who takes away all of our sins and accomplishes redemption in a complete way, a full way. And he is also the one...
See, the full way is all the eight different processes. All of them are new. Amen?
Amen.
That's a complete salvation. That's the complete way to have God's life living in you. All right? Capito, comprende, capisce, verstehen, hallelujah. Then what?
And he is also the one with the holy dove who gave life into us and baptizes us with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the new wine, the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
But on top of all these things, he is the bridegroom. And eventually, at the end of the Bible, we have such a term, quote, the wife of the Lamb, unquote.
Right, because we're new creatures. We're now godly creatures because we have taken, accepted all the new things that the Lord is for us. You understand?
Yes.
Good. Maybe the people out in Radio Land understand as well. Okay, good. Then what?
That was Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. So the wife of the Lamb is, to much extent, contrary completely against religion and religious thoughts.
I know. You know, you couldn't go to a church, to a religion, and get this. How can the Buddhists have the bridegroom or be children of the bride chamber with a statue? Come on. You're smarter than that, aren't you?
Yes.
Or how could you be children of the bride chamber worshiping a man in Rome that the Bible calls the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist regime? All right, you must worship the Lord. How could you be the children of the bridegroom if you're worshiping Mary? Mary is not a groom, is she?
No.
A bridegroom? You want to be married to Mary? What are you, a lesbian or something? No, the Mary is the mother of Jesus. She was an incubator that the bridegroom was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. Now receive that and live. Have the new life of Christ. Never does it mention to have the life of Mary, because Mary is a dead Jewish girl. She's alive because she believed in her son as being the Messiah, the bridegroom. And she was one of the children of the bride chamber. She also was the invited guest, and she also was the bride of Christ. Just because she was the mother of this creature that God put in her, who was the actual God, she couldn't give birth to God, for heaven's sakes. God has no mother, has no beginning and no ending. God is born again in us when we receive all the newness of his only begotten Son, all the 8 steps to having God's life live in you. All right? Then what?
The Lamb is the Redeemer, but the Lamb who took away our sins on the cross is also our bridegroom. Every one of the people in the church that have been recently saved, while others have been saved for a long time, you need to pray. Have you ever called out to the Lord as your bridegroom when you pray? Oh, Jesus, you are my bridegroom. You are so wonderful.
That's what the Lord wants you to pray. Amen?
Amen.
If he's your bridegroom, you know that he's God. He was born the Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen?
Amen.
That little child was God born in the flesh. That's just the marvelous thing that God does. He does things which seem in a little way, but when you put it all together, my Lord and my God, he is with us. Amen?
Amen.
He's a risen, almighty, holy, eternal, living God. And we're children of his in the bride chamber, and eventually we're his bride. My Lord and my God, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, amen.
Oh man, shouldn't you be rejoicing?
Amen.
Amen. I've actually had some people in our church rebuke people for praising and thanking the Lord. These people need to go somewhere else. They need to be living, if they're going to be that way in this church here. They need to live with the tomb, out in the tomb someplace, because that's what they are. They're dead. All right? You need to be newly, new and alive in Christ, the bridegroom, the Savior, the clothing that we're clothed upon with, and the wine. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. We need to be clothed upon with his resurrection. We need to be clothed upon with his... We have to be baptized into him inwardly and outwardly. We have to drink him in, and we have to have him outwardly, clothed upon outwardly with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to have Christ as our everything. Amen?
Amen.
Because he is everything. He's the kingdom of heaven. He's the manna that we eat. He's the food, our drink. He's our wine. He tells us, instructs us to be in the church. Otherwise, we can't live apart from it. And so the people that are in my church that are here with me when I bring messages, they're in the church. We're all in the church. Amen?
Amen.
We send these messages. We can't be everywhere to all the churches in Africa, India, Philippines, to the Ivory Coast, and to Ireland and China and Japan and every place where people in Las Vegas. We can't be everywhere, but God is everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what else?
Lord, I love the nearness of you. I love you being with me. I love you just as one who loves her bridegroom. Do you pray to the Lord like that when you pray? Well, I'm afraid to say that in one way or another, most people are under the influence of religion or the concept of religion. It is very easy, exceedingly easy, for most Christians to pray, O Heavenly Father, you are my God, you are my Father, you are my Master, you are my Creator. And it's all right to say this. It's right to say it. But people are not accustomed to saying, Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, you are my bridegroom.
Right, because see, the bridegroom is the newness that Christ is with us. Amen?
Amen.
That the bridegroom is with us and we're in the bride chamber. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's getting everybody ready. We're appropriating the bride of Christ by winning souls. And so he's still in the bride chamber. He's waiting to come back to us to take his virgin bride, his spotless, sinless, perfect bride, to him to be wed, as it mentions in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 22nd chapter, it talks about many other things. We must accept the newness of the Almighty God. We must accept the New Testament. This is all new. And it's the actual fulfillment of the Old Testament. Then go ahead.
Jesus, our bridegroom, is against the religious concept. And now, after all these words, you may be able to see the religious point of view. Don't blame different religions, the Jewish people. Point the finger at yourself. We have all become religious. We're still, to much of an extent, under the religious influence. We're talking about fasting all the time and praying, while the Lord Jesus is saying, quote, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, unquote.
Is the bridegroom with you? Has this new experience happened to you? Are you an invited guest? Are you a virgin? Are you on your way to become the bride of Christ? Have you put on the new garment that was paid for with the blood of Jesus, and he was cut and sewn and put together, and he died and went to hell and resurrected? The wine, the Spirit of God raised him from the dead, and now he is raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And now are you in his body, the church, the wineskin? If you're not, get in there right now. Amen?
Amen.
Get into the body right now. Forget about religion. Forget about all these other things. You know, most of the big, we have a letter from one of the people in Africa saying all the major works that are going on over there, with the exception of ours, are Catholic. And they're not being taught the whole thing. You see these huge crowds that are going there for a couple of evangelists on the television that claim to be Protestants. They don't really come out and say it. But secretly, I've heard them say, and they were there at the Pope's funeral, and they said that they were Catholic. You can't be a Catholic and be a Protestant or have the new wine. You just can't. They preach about the Bible like the Pharisees did, and they teach about it, but they don't have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. They haven't gone through the new process, and we all pray, I pray, that God will show them this and that they will eventually become saved and depart from that wicked Jezebel in Rome and come out of the closet and really be Christians. I pray that this will happen with President Bush and the whole administration. They claim to be Christians and yet are killing, bombing people, and talking about being men of war. I'm a man of war also, but I war lawfully with the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, now that Word of God isn't hurt anybody but the devil.
Amen.
That's who we want to hurt.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then go ahead.
The Lord Jesus is not speaking in doctrines or religious rituals.
No. He just wants his. We want to be in his presence, and he in our presence. That's what the whole thing is about, not doctrine or ceremonies, amen, or
amen.
Rituals, amen.
Amen.
Okay. In other words, we know we can't have the same doctrine as the Vatican, or Buddhism, or any of the false religions. We must receive Christ, the person, the bridegroom. We must be in the bride chamber, and he must be in us. Okay? Then what? We're the temple of God, and Jesus is God. He's God the Son. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But he is speaking to us about himself. He tells us that, as the bridegroom, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Lord and Master, today is a bridegroom to the church.
Well, to the wineskin. Amen. Amen. He is the wineskin. As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus is everything. He's the church. It's his body. We're just part of his body. He's the head, and we're his body, and he is the body too, the wineskin. He's everything. Amen. Amen. We're only something in him. Okay? If the wine's outside the bottle, then you're not the wine. Okay? If you're the wine, if you have Christ in you, you have the bridegroom with it, then you're in the bottle, the wineskin. You're in his body. Then we all are one. We all reap all the benefits of the kingdom of heaven forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Okay, then what?
He tells us that as the bridegroom, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Lord and Master, today is a bridegroom to the church, the body of Christ, to us. In other words, everyone must drop the religious concept and start doing something new.
Yeah, receive all the new things that the Lord has provided for us through His Son, Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is everything. The Bible says that there isn't anything in the world or the entire universe that was not made by Jesus, the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So all we need then is Jesus. We don't need rituals. Amen?
Amen.
Or these tall hats that these people wear, or to get beat on your rear end with a cat of nine tails and to eat rice or something like that. That has nothing. That's religion, man. You need to eat Jesus and drink Amen. Jesus. You need to eat and drink the Word of God, the Spirit of life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is the straight stuff, the real deal, the real thing. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the real thing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
No one can force you to do it, but from the way that things really are in the Bible, I would try to encourage you from this day on to contact the Lord again and again with a sense that He is your bridegroom. Do you think you can do that? There isn't much need to pray in the old religious way, because I'm afraid that when you forget God, He will tear you in pieces.
Right, you got to remember the new things that you must process, you must go through, the eight different processes. Amen?
Amen.
Can't be the old way. Because the Lord did away with the old. He split the veil of the temple right down the middle when the earthquake was there, and when Jesus died on the cross, and He fulfilled the clothing. Now we can be clothed upon with Him as He resurrected, entered in the kingdom of heaven. Now He can send His life-giving Spirit into us and upon us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants to be our food, our water, inwardly, and He wants to be our power outwardly. He wants to be clothed. He wants us to be clothed upon with Him so that we are alive and active in the ministry. Okay, then what? He doesn't want a bunch of people that are gathered in a cemetery someplace muttering or anything else like that. Okay, then what else?
You just forget Him, then whenever you turn back to Him, you immediately pray in that same old way. Some people find it so easy to pray that way. But when you pray in the way of appreciating the Lord Jesus Christ as a bridegroom, it is entirely different.
It's new. Then what?
Don't think that this is my teaching, because in later messages I will show you that it's Bible teaching. It is the Lord's revelation. So the Lord is going to teach you these things, and He's teaching you now. You must change your ways. You must repent, change your concept of the Lord and how to approach Him, and be buried in the Lord. Start consuming Jesus. Enjoy Jesus as, in one respect, and a very important respect, as the bridegroom. The Lord is everything to me. He's so wonderful. He's so exciting. He's good beyond what I'm able to express. He is the bridegroom. Praise the Lord. The bridegroom is with those of us who really know Him. We have His presence with us. We not only have the presence of the Almighty God, if we're keeping His commandments, but the presence of the bridegroom, the most wonderful, marvelous, calming, and pleasant person. He is extremely precious and so very wonderful. The Lord Jesus must be like this to you and me, because if He isn't, then you don't really have Him.
If you're not thinking of Him all day long, then He's not with you all day long. You must keep concentrated on Him so you have this pleasant feeling all day long.
Amen.
The pleasant knowledge that he's you're in the chamber, bride chamber. Amen?
Amen.
And you're invited guests and you're on your way to heaven to become the bride. Then what?
When we talk about love, there's not one of us that keep any formality. If you love somebody, you don't really have any formal ritual.
No, do you have a ritual when you meet your... You're married and you go to your bride and you tell her, let's go through the ceremony here. No, you drop all those formalities and you drop all those rituals and you just come into the house and say, how you doing, honey? Praise the Lord, amen, and you enjoy each other, amen?
Amen.
That's the way married life should be, and we're supposed to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
The bridegroom. We're waiting for him to come and take us away, to be consummate the marriage. Right, then what?
It isn't plastic like that. When we really love somebody, we put an end to all the formalities. If we don't...
All the rituals, yeah. Then what?
If we don't, our love is not really a true love, a genuine love. Therefore, since Jesus is our bridegroom, we must put an end to all our rituals and formalities.
Amen.
We need to change our ways in a radical way. When we go to church or to our meeting or gathering place, the church meetings where we who are the temples of God all meet together, we must be coming to meet the bridegroom like the virgins.
Yeah, always when you're going to church, you're going to meet the bridegroom. You must always have that concept in you, I'm going to meet the bridegroom, so that when he comes, you're still waiting to meet him and you're ready to meet him. Amen?
Amen.
So keep your mind on being ready to meet the bridegroom. All right, then what?
Whenever we come together as virgins, we are coming to be with our bridegroom. His presence means everything to us. As long as he is with us, there is no need for us to have regulations and no rituals whatsoever, no doctrines or formalities.
Well, we know to keep all the commandments, of course. But that isn't ritualism. That's the Lord being clothed upon with him. No temptation can overpower us. Amen?
Amen.
We just need to be worshiping him and being in the Spirit, and being in the bride chamber, and being virgins and on our way to heaven to be his bride. All right? And what else?
Why does Christianity today need so many doctrines, forms, rituals, and regulations? If we're all living in a church, a gathering place, there must be rules, but I'm not talking about rules. There must be some regulations, but not when we come to the service to be with the bridegroom, is what I'm talking about. Because if we don't come to the gathering place to be with our bridegroom, what happens is you've lost the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, well, we need to, when we pray, we need to be going to see the bridegroom, to meet him, amen?
Amen.
In prayer. Okay, then what? You can go to meet the bridegroom any time of the day, anywhere. Okay, then what?
In a wedding, you have the presence of the bridegroom, but in a cemetery, we have a lot of dead people. We've lost the presence of some dear person. There's nothing in the cemetery that is wonderful and pleasant because we've lost the presence of a brother or sister, so there's not at all any excitement there. But we have the presence of our bridegroom, and his presence is everything to me and must be to you, because his presence is life. His presence is everything. How can we help being excited when the bridegroom is with us? And how could we not shout and raise our hands and praise the Lord? We must be exceeding joyful when the bridegroom is with us. Don't be afraid to praise the Lord and thank the Lord when you are in the presence of the bridegroom. That's what the gathering together in the church is all about, is to be with the bridegroom. In this sense, you will not see this sort of anything like this in religion. Now the Bible, the Word of God, tells us a couple of things here. It tells us that the Lord Jesus is our bridegroom, but it also tells us he is a person to us. And so we are four kinds of people to him.
Yeah, we're people, and he's the person. And so we are people, the Lord, our bridegroom, and we, the children of his bride chamber, we're all people. He's a people, a man on this side of eternity. But then when he went through the whole process of manhood for the 33.5 years, and he resurrected and completed all of his manhood duties with God being in him and not sinning once, then he became the Almighty God, the Spirit that can come into us and clothe us. And if we have him, the clothing that he prepared for us on the, by going to the cross, being cut and butchered there, then we have the Lord We have his presence with us. Amen?
Amen.
And we also are have him in us, and it clothes upon with him, and we are then go to the church, and we're ready as virgins to meet the bride at all time until he comes. Then what?
Matthew and Luke tell us that he is the bridegroom, and we are the children of the bride chamber. So that means that we are the people with the bridegroom. When Jesus was here on earth, he was a person, and he was the bridegroom. And the disciples were people also that were with him in his chamber. They loved the bridegroom, and we also love the bridegroom. So when we look at that, we are the children or the people with the bridegroom. In this way, we are not the bride, but we are the children of the bride chamber. We look upon the bridegroom. Being with him is so good and pleasant for us. So the children of the bride chamber are certainly not like those out in a graveyard or around the dead. We're not in the cemetery, we're not in a funeral home, but we are in the bride chamber. We are the children of the bridegroom, and we are in the bride chamber. This is a place to rejoice. So I've already mentioned that we are guests that are invited by the Lord to a wedding feast of God's Son. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 and 10, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 9. And I've also mentioned that we also are the virgins. The Lord says, quote, come to the feast, unquote, and that means we are feasting now. The Lord doesn't call us to a feast and then won't let us feast. Whenever we come to the presence of the Lord, we come to a feast.
Well, when you're praying to him, you're coming to feast, amen?
Amen.
And that's when the Lord, he sees that you appreciate him and that you're feeding the food that he's prepared for us, a marriage supper of lamb. Then whatsoever we ask, he gives us. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. All right, then what?
So I mentioned also, I'm just giving you a quick overview, that when we go to church or to the meeting, we must not just be like ordinary people to come for a meal, but we are those that are invited to the Lamb's wedding. We don't come to the church or the assembly to just learn or to hear teaching. The thing that we must do is to come for feasting.
To worship, worship the Lord. Then what?
And I talked about the virgins, and how that we cannot be foolish virgins. The Bible talks about all this, and tells us that we're to continue on waiting for the coming of the Lord. Those are four types of people. Now there are four other things. Something old, and this is something new. So the Lord presented himself to people as the bridegroom, and again, it's good to hear the words of the Lord, who said, quote, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, unquote. In these words, we see many things. The first one is that he is the bridegroom, and the second is that the bridegroom is with us. In chapter 1 of Matthew, we see that Christ was called Emmanuel, God, which means God with us. Quote, God with us, unquote, is a very pleasant thing. This doesn't mean that we have teaching or doctrine with us, or that we have a ritual with us, or we have any forms, but it means that we have the very presence of the living God, the bridegroom, with us. With him being with us, that is actually everything that we need, is to have Christ with us. You can praise the Lord that the bridegroom is with those of us that are born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. Without the Lord's presence, everything is mere religion. A lot of people wonder what it means to be religious. To be religious means to have all the scriptural things, all the fundamental things, and yet you lack the very presence of the bridegroom, the Lord. It's the most wonderful thing in the world to have the presence of the bridegroom with us. If we need comfort, praise the Lord, the bridegroom's presence is our comfort. If we want to have immortality, well, glory to God, his presence is our eternal life. If we need anything else, the Bible tells us that his presence is everything to us. If you have the presence of the Lord, you have everything. The bridegroom is with us. Hallelujah. The third thing that these words imply of the Lord is that he, as the bridegroom, again, the most important thing, is that he is with us, that we may have enjoyment with him. And how we are able to tell this, because he states, quote, can the children of the bride chamber mourn, unquote? So the answer, obviously, is that we must be joyful. We cannot be any other way in the presence of the bridegroom, in person, himself with us. Praise the Lord, amen. But the Lord doesn't put an end to it there. He goes on to tell us this statement by using some parables with much practical applications. First of all, he tells us that no man puts a piece of new cloth upon an old garment. And after that, he tells us that neither do men put new wine into old wineskins. In the Gospel of Luke, we have another thing added, quote, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, Luke chapter 5, verse 36.
No, see, everything now in the New Testament is new. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you put a new piece of cloth into an old garment, when you wash it, the new part is going to shrink up and it's going to look worse. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So we got to have all the new things. Amen?
Amen.
We can't combine the old with the new. We have to have the Lord with us.
Therefore, following the Lord's words regarding himself as being the bridegroom, he presents us with these four new items. They have 100% significance. In the first place, we see the new cloth. In the second place, we see the new garment. In the third place, the new wine. And in the fourth place, the new wineskin. We have, therefore, the bridegroom with the four new things. The Lord's word is always very simple in different phrases and wordings, but we must realize that the thing that the Lord wants us to know, not just imply, but for us to really have in us of the Lord's word, is absolutely wonderful. It's very profound and marvelous. The words of the Lord are not like those of philosophers, worldly teachers. They are very difficult to understand, and even after people understand them, you don't have anything.
No, if you don't understand the whole Bible, you don't have anything, okay, if you don't have the Lord's presence with you. Okay, then what else?
That's why the Lord is very different. All his words are very simple. Everyone can be familiar with a new cloth, a new garment, new wine, and wineskin. But listen to what the meaning, the significance of his words are.
You have to know the meaning. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then hurry up.
Because they are profound. It will take an eternity for some to comprehend or understand what they mean. So I will stop here, and in the next message I'm going to tell you what the biblical meaning of new is.
All right, now our time is up, and so those of you that would like to have the Lord, to start the process of having the Lord, to have the Lord with you, the bridegroom, just say this prayer to him and mean it with all your heart. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul because your word says so. I know it. So therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now, this is tape and CD number 109, and I have to close right now by saying tune in tomorrow for part number. We didn't even do part 8 tonight of the track that I've written about how to have God's life living in you. But until tomorrow, may God bless you richly and praise the Lord with all your heart and soul, because he's alive. And now those of you and all of us that have accepted him, he's with us. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.